yields surging in the euro area. Christian Sulz warned, "The risk is that this same dynamic, as we have seen in Britain, evolves on the European continent as well." Meanwhile, data by Saxo Bank shows that a European Central Bank stress indicator for the Eurozone's financial system, which looks at tensions in bond, equity and money markets, has risen from below 0.1 at the start of the year to almost 0.5 now. During the Eurozone debt crisis in 2009-2010, the index exceeded 0.6. Russia Today explains more about the same story. European Central Bank Chief Christine Lagarde revealed recently that Europe is facing lower than expected economic growth as inflation continues to climb in Europe, explaining that the European Central Bank had raised interest rates by 0.75 basis points in an attempt to control soaring prices. Speaking before the European Parliament's Committee on Economic and Monetary Affairs recently, Christine Lagarde admitted that inflation remains far too high and is likely to stay above our target for an extended period of time. The former International Monetary Fund boss, Christine Lagarde, warned that the economic consequences for the euro area of Russia's conflict in Ukraine had spiraled further since June, a reference to Western sanctions on Russian oil and gas, which have sent fuel prices skyrocketing. She said, "The outlook is darkening." While the Eurozone's economy grew 0.8% in the second quarter of this year, Christine Lagarde said the European Central Bank expected activity to slow substantially over the rest of 2022, to a total of 3.1% over the year and a mere 0.9% for all of 2023. She claimed things would improve marginally in 2024, with economic growth projected at 1.9%, while noting a decline in global demand due to what she called the worsening terms of trade. Christine Lagarde said much of this quarter's economic growth was due to strong consumer spending driven by reopening of COVID-shuttered industries like tourism. She said high inflation is being reinforced by gas supply disruptions, adding that uncertainty and falling household and business confidence were also contributing to the bleak predictions. Inflation hit 9.1% in the month of August, driven by energy and food prices. The European Central Bank has hiked its inflation projections accordingly, setting 8.1% for 2022, 5.5% for 2023, and 2.3% for 2024. With Christine Lagarde pointing the finger again at major disruptions in energy supplies. The central bank's recent 0.75 percentage point interest rate increase earlier this month was only the second hike in 11 years, after it added 50 basis points in July. Christine Lagarde said the increase would dampen demand but ensure that inflation expectations remain well anchored. Lagarde admitted the situation is expected to get worse before it gets any better, with regard to high energy and high food costs, the most important issues for 2 out of 3 Europeans right now. However, she urged governments to make sure fiscal support for the most vulnerable households were temporary and targeted so as not to exacerbate inflationary pressures. Turkey's Anadolu news agency has more on the same story. The European Union Statistical Office warned recently over 95.4 million people, every fifth EU citizen, were at risk of poverty or social exclusion in 2021. According to the latest data revealed by Eurostat, 21.7% of the European bloc's population lived last year in a household that experiences at least one of the three main risks of poverty: severe social and material deprivation, or very low work intensity. The number is slightly higher compared to 2020, when 94.8 million people, representing 21.6% of the European Union's population, faced similar difficulties. The statement explained, "In total, 73.7 million people in the European Union were at risk of poverty, while 27.0 million were severely, materially and socially deprived, and 29.3 million lived in a household with low work intensity. Some 5.9 million people, or 1.3% of the EU's population, simultaneously experienced all of the three risk factors. Among the 27 European Union member states, Romania has the highest share of the population, 34%, facing poverty and exclusion. This was followed by Bulgaria, with 32% of the population facing poverty and exclusion. Greece and Spain, both with 28% of their people at risk, were in third and fourth positions. Meanwhile, the Czech Republic, Slovenia and Finland recorded the lowest shares of the population in deprivation, with 11%, 13% and 14% respectively.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. In the previous episodes, we were looking at the human being himself and what makes him human. Because sometimes we need to understand who we are in order to understand how we can maintain the rights of other people. Because unless we know who we are and how we can fix our mistakes, then surely we'll transgress against others, as so many people do today and done in the past, and I'm very sure will do in the future as well. And there is no better place to go to understand the human being himself than the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah knows human beings and He knows how they work, and He sent down the manual for them to operate, which is the Quran. One of the interesting things that we see when it comes to human beings through the Quran, Allah says, human beings, even when it comes to dua, when it comes to supplication and asking Allah, praying to Allah for things, they also in a set of haste and a hurry. So Allah says, وَيَدْعُ الْإِنسَانُ بِالشَّرِّ دُعَاءَهُ بِالْخَيْرِ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. Sometimes we, especially this happens in our houses rather than outside, something happens and we get angry all of a sudden, and all of a sudden we start to do dua on a family member. The wife does dua on her husband. The husband does a dua on his wife or on his kids. He might curse them and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring his wrath upon them. At the same time, when it comes to him, he asks Allah to do good by him. So how does that work? I mean, your family members are part of you. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have to accept your prayers, He would have to destroy your family. And if He destroys your family, obviously that's something that you're not going to be happy about. Yet you are doing this dua, and yet you want the good to happen as well. How does that work? So Allah says human beings have this state of mind where they constantly doing dua on people. We are such in a haste to do dua on people. And funny enough, we have a hadith that says those who do dua on a person in a place or at a time that a person does not deserve it, such dua will backfire at you. Especially when it comes to la'an and cursing. You can do la'an to a person and that person is innocent of what you're accusing him of. And this la'an or this curse could find its way to you. And when it comes to cursing now with family members, like I said, in a set of anger, but sometimes when it comes to other people, we also find ourselves oppressing others in terms of us trying to invoke the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon our fellow human beings, sometimes even on our friends, on our family members, our brothers in faith. Why? Because something, we went wrong between us. Now, obviously, there are better ways to solve our problems before we resolve to dua and trying to get Allah involved in it, which is very selfish in its nature and very stupid. So that's why Allah says, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. Surely, he's constantly in the state of hurriness. Let us take a short break and then we will continue right after.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program for humanity. Just before the break, we were saying that the human beings, creatures that are always in a hurry, and they're always trying to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to invoke His curse and His anger upon others. Sometimes we do that even when it comes to our family members, our children or spouses. We do that. So this is one bad trait that the Quran talks about that as believers we need to refrain from, because my wife, my children, or the husband, or other people, other human beings, brothers in faith, they have rights as well. Because you get angry doesn't make it, or doesn't mean that you're right. So make sure you don't transgress and oppress other people, because this is the limitation where I and you should not cross, because we need to maintain their human rights, and the right to exist, the right to be human to begin with. Another trait that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, that a human being themselves are never content. They're never happy. They constantly want more. لَيْسْ أَمُ الْإِنسَانَ مَنْ دُعَاءُ الْخَيْرِ. When it comes to dua al-khayr, he's constantly asking for more. Asking for more, I mean, there's no problem for a person to ask Allah for more. But considering that he has or he had less, when a person has or had less, he has less of everything, then he can ask for an increase. But sometimes we have more and we want more. Wanting more once a person has more is a problem, because it means I am not happy with what Allah is giving me. Now, you see a lot of people, especially now when we have a lot of industries, they have billions and billions of dollars, yet they want to make more billions and billions of dollars. And when they make that billions of dollars, they make it on the expense of other human beings. For example, take pharmaceuticals. How many pharmaceutical companies and industries in the world that they thrive on depriving human beings of their own earnings? Or sometimes they create their own viruses so they can create medication for it. And when they create something, obviously it doesn't come cheap either. So you can see that this greed happens in this kind of atmosphere. When it comes to systems of the world, we have so many systems. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving them everything. But yet they go to other countries and other states and they deprive them of the natural resources because they want more. Obviously, all of this is crossing the limits of the human rights. At the same time, sometimes we ourselves do that as well, where we never content with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even though he gives us, but yet we find it in ourselves to go deprive other human beings of their properties and out of their necessities, and we take from them in form of stealing and cheating and what have you. And so I don't have to be a powerful person in power to deprive others. No, sometimes I deprive those who are lower and weaker than me. So the human is never content. Obviously, he can be if he wants, but that's a choice me and you have to make. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi.
Food for thought.
Salam, and here are words of guidance from the Prophet of Islam that are food for thought for Islamic unity. On the resurrection day, no foot of a servant of Allah will move before being asked about four things: the years and how they were spent, the body and how it was used, the wealth and how it was earned and spent, and about love towards us, the Ahlul Bayt. Thank you.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Illegal hunting and hybridization with American crocodiles have for decades threatened their populations, with some species being on the verge of extinction. But there are some people who put their lives at risk to save the natural heritage. A Cuban researcher has released a baby crocodile that was confiscated from illegal hunters back into the wild. It was a happy moment for Etienne Perez, who went waist-deep in the dark water of Zapata Swamp to free Cuban crocs, the smallest known range of any living crocodile species. Cuban scientists were racing for quite some time to save the rarest crocodile. The government has protected virtually all of the vast swamp, widely considered to be the best preserved in the Caribbean. But the scientists say more efforts are needed to save the nature.
Releasing crocodile seized from poachers is really impressive because we return the animal to a free life in the wild. In the case of the animals in the hatchery, we are trying to increase the historical range of the Cuban crocodile and, of course, increase the number of these individuals in the wild.
Cuban scientists estimate that around 4,000 crocodiles continue to live in the wild. But because the area they prefer within the wetland is relatively small, a climate-related disaster, increasingly common now globally, could wipe out the brunt of the population. They say illegal hunting for decades is also threatening crocodile populations.
Robots are slowly but surely becoming part of everyday life, taking on human roles in different areas. Now, fast food restaurants can make French fries faster and better as a robot called Flippy 2 takes over the job.
When an order comes in through the restaurant system, it automatically spits out the instructions to Flippy. It takes a frozen product, fries it for the precise amount of time, and puts the finished product in the end. It does it faster, more accurately, more reliably, and happier than most humans do it.
Flippy 2 has been created in a robotic lab in California called MISO after 5 years of efforts by its developers. According to the project engineers, a really good understanding of the food science is needed to make sure the food quality is there, how different food sticks together, and how the temperature and heat affect it. The MISO CEO says the machine can cook several meals with different recipes simultaneously, removing the need for catering staff.
This technology utilizes a whole bunch of computer vision. There's cameras throughout the system, including right here we have these food identification cameras. The cameras not only guide the robot and tell it exactly where it is in space and how to move through this area, but also identifies the food type and it knows the recipe for each one.
The MISO CEO says tasks like the fry station are the kind that humans are most happy to afloat. The name Flippy comes from the original machine designed to flip burgers, which was not very useful for restaurants. On the outskirts of China's metropolis, Shanghai, a tiny island has been dubbed Cat Island as it provides shelter for stray animals. Since it opened last month, a charity based on the island is taking in cats mainly brought from Shanghai residents. These small carnivorous mammals are neutered and evaluated, and those with good temper and health are allowed to roam free on the island. The city's Stray Cats Management Center says their trap-neuter-release policy is to protect stray cats, limits their population, and maintain ecological balance. However, Shanghai has an estimated 200 stray cats per square kilometer, which means other methods will be needed to control the urban population, stray cats. A pair of baby panda twins make their debut appearance at the Chongqing Zoo in southwest China, with visitors flocking to cherish the abundance of cuteness.
Our returnee panda, Ershan, gave birth to the twin brother and sister on July 22nd this year. Currently, the elder brother weighs 4.3 grams and the younger sister weighs 0.6 grams. They're in good condition at present.
The twins' first public appearance was on Saturday, the first day of the week-long National Day holidays. During this week, the pair of giant panda cubs will be on display in the nursery of the panda house of the zoo. Their mother, Ershan, once lived in Canada as a goodwill envoy, but returned to her homeland in 2020. This was Ershan's second delivery of twins. A total of 21 pandas currently live in the Chongqing Zoo, which has been breeding giant pandas since the 1960s. The evolution of robots has been one of the fascinations of recent technological developments. And now the most cutting-edge achievements in that department were presented to the public during a conference in Beijing. The four-day annual World Robot Conference was held both offline and online. It featured three major events, including forum, expo, and competition. On display were more than 500 sets of robots from 130 companies from China and abroad. The conference gave an idea of how the future of humanity will be impacted by the automations. It shows how they can contribute to different sectors, from the restaurant industry and medicine to elderly care, agriculture, and manufacturing.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from from every corner of the world.
An aircraft powered by electricity may still be some way off, but one of its types is already here thanks to a whole range of innovative solutions being developed by aviation firms. American company Aviation Aircraft has debuted its all-electric plane in Washington State. The aircraft, named Alice, took off the runway at Grand County International Airport and flew for 8 minutes. It reached an altitude of 3,500 feet before touching down the ground. According to the company, the aircraft produces no carbon emissions, significantly reduces noise, and costs a fraction to operate compared to usual light jets. The company says it continues to develop and tweak the plane's battery system for an hour flight.
We're targeting a design criteria of 35 minutes for a charge. And so that'll be a charge for the typical route length. It's actually, as I just said, it's actually a design point. So going back to the comment I made earlier about designing batteries for aircraft, it's one of the considerations is how quickly do we want it to charge? How much power do you want to be able to draw from it? So again, we're targeting call it 30 minutes of charge for an hour of flight time, or about 2C if you're...
The company aims to find its way into the market for trips that sit between 150 and 250 miles, a range that features aircraft similar in size to Alice. It will also be for both commuter and cargo flights. For aircraft manufacturers, this paradigm shift is driving fuel savings in flight and on the ground, reducing carbon footprints and NOx emissions, while also improving reliability and cutting maintenance costs. Many people of the world are supported almost completely by animals because they live in areas unsuitable for animal husbandry. But these days, even some city dwellers are making their living out of animals, like a Virginia girl. Andrea Diaz quit her job at a restaurant and started to rent her pet alpacas to cheer up steer crazy Americans during the pandemic. Since the launch of her business in 2020, it has expanded from 2 to 14 alpacas. Interestingly, 5 with fluffy pets are regularly making a paid appearance at birthdays, weddings, restaurants, and offices. She charges a starting price of $95 per hour. Diaz says the best part is when there are kids' birthday parties, but even it's really a fun for the adults. She calls alpacas a good exposure because they attract people.
In most of its habitats, the heavily trafficked pangolin faces the biggest threat from humans. But in Taiwan, these gentle creatures are exposed to quite a different danger, feral dogs. In the island, a government policy has led to a surge in the population of feral dogs. The pangolins share most of their roaming area with the stray animals. Plus, these scaly animals cannot move as fast as their attackers. When faced with danger, pangolins curl themselves into a ball shape, but the tail still remains at the most outer side, and that's where the dogs hit them hard.
Ecuador's Galapagos National Park is testing different coral replanting methods in an effort to restore fragile underwater ecosystems around local islands.
These corals are important because they are recyclers in the ocean. They convert all the CO2 into oxygen. These corals are important because they are refuges, nurseries, and nursery areas for some fish species.
Coral reef die-offs affect the marine food supply chains and are considered a major climate tipping point. The experimental project is run by park rangers and volunteers in a bay on Santa Cruz Island. Since 2020, they have tested how corals reproduce when they are placed on surfaces like bricks, cement, or tied together and strung on metal frames. They're growing samples in a nursery before adding them to bay. The rangers are reporting improvements with the appearance of new fish near the replanted corals.
A free climber known as the French Spider-Man scales a 48-story skyscraper in Paris to fulfill a goal he set for himself once he reached the age of 60.
A few years back, I promised myself that the day I turn 60, I have to climb the total tower. Because 60 years old marks retirement age in France, and so I thought this would make a very good nod.
Alain Roberts says this building is not as hard as others he has climbed. The French Spider-Man has ascended over 100 of the world's tallest buildings, including the Sydney Tower, the Sears Tower in Chicago, and the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, amongst many others. Roberts says he spent 2 decades climbing mountains before attempting urban climbs. Using his rock climbing experience, he sometimes carries a small bag of climbing chalk to help him grasp the small protrusions of building walls. Many of his climbs can last several hours. The 60-year-old daredevil says he wants to give people the message that age is a number and one can still be active and do sports. A Palestinian farmer has discovered an ancient Byzantine-era mosaic when preparing to plant an olive tree on his plot of land in the Gaza Strip. The farmer and his son have been carefully excavating the area for 3 months since spring. The pair dug out 3 patches, revealing glimpses of an ornate mosaic with intricate images of birds, flora, and tile patterns. Its full size is roughly 23 square meters. The discovery has set off excitement amongst archaeologists. Experts say it is one of the most well-preserved specimens, with precision in graphics and richness in colors. According to archaeologists, the mosaic pavement dates back to the 5th and 7th centuries. Last month, another Palestinian farmer found the rare stone sculpture while working on his land, which dates back to around 2500 BC.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah. Dear brothers and sisters, salam, peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you on the Week of Unity. That is a special week for all Muslims all around the globe. This week is entitled The Week of Unity by the founder of Islamic Republic of Iran, Imam Khomeini. Congratulations on the birthday anniversary of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny. Today, Tuesday, is the 14th of Rabiul Awwal, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 19th of May, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 11th of October, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar.
This is chapter Al Imran from the Holy Quran, verse 64.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قل يا أهل الكتاب تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم ألا نعبد إلا الله ولا نشرك به شيئا ولا يتخذ بعضنا بعضا أربابا من دون الله فإن تولوا فقولوا اشهدوا بأننا مسلمون.
Say, O people of the scripture, come to a word that is equitable between us and you, that we will not worship except Allah, and not associate anything with Him, and not take one another as lords instead of Allah. But if they turn away, then say, bear witness that we are Muslims, submitting to Him.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
This ayah introduces monotheism as the source of unity and solidarity among various religions and calls on them to unify with each other and set up a safe community far from oppression and transgression. Undoubtedly, Muslims, as the initial nucleus of this conversions can play an important role. When members of the society give up differences and their hearts become close to each other, the enemy cannot harm them.
Every sound and every voice in every language ever heard, each drop of ink that has been used to write every single word. They could never portray everything I feel in my heart and wanna say. And it's hard to explain why I could never describe my love for you.
Dear brothers and sisters, you are listening to IRIB English Radio from Iran. This program is today's special, and we're speaking about the importance of unity in the world of Islam on the Week of Unity. Among the basic principles of Islam are unity and coming together. We can see in the ruling and aspects of Islam that unity and coming together is either enjoined as an obligation or is recommended for the sunnah. There are aspects such as one Lord, one book, one prophet, one religion, one direction or qibla, and one ummah. Salah and Hajj are prime examples of the unity and the call of coming together in Islam. Everyone, rich, poor, young, old, all ethnicities are enjoined to come to Salah and pray in congregation. Similarly, for Hajj, whoever can afford it are all obliged to do Hajj and are supposed to wear the same type of garment. Imagine millions wearing the same type of garment at the same place at the same time. What better example can we get of coming together and of unity? No other religion calls for that.
Sheikh Rouhani.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In this episode, actually, we are going to talk about the role of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the 14 infallibles, I mean the A'imma Alayhimu Salatu Wasalam, in establishing wahda and unity among Muslim ummah. You see, in the history, it is mentioned that some people of Mecca, Muslims in Mecca, they migrated from Mecca to Medina by the Prophet. When the Prophet migrated from Mecca to Medina, of course, other Muslims also went from Mecca to Medina. When they left Mecca for Medina, so the people of Medina actually some of the people of Medina had actually a kind of difficult or kind of hard kind of lives because economically talking, they were not in a good kind of situation or conditions. And that's why it was really difficult for them to serve their own people. And in addition to their own people, also the people who migrated from Mecca to Medina. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when taught these people Islam and the teachings and doctrines of Islam, not only they accepted these Muhajirin and migrants and immigrants as residents of Medina, but as brothers. There was a kind of brotherhood between the people of Medina as well as the other people who came from other cities to Medina. So this way, actually, Prophet ﷺ united the Muslims, not only in Medina, but also in Mecca, in the other cities. And then step by step, when the teachings and doctrines of Islam spread it all over the Arab Peninsula and other cities and areas and regions, then the other people also accepted Islam and embraced Islam wholeheartedly because of these teachings and doctrines of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Under the topic of unity, we look at culture and sectarian division. Islam is what brings us together and should never be what tears us apart. Achieving unity is a goal that all Muslims should collectively strive for. Prophet Muhammad stated in his farewell sermon that not a single person of any race or ethnicity is better than another person except in righteousness. Muslims faced these divisions from their very first days of trying to fit in. Muslims arrive at a masjid, oftentimes to find cliques that are segregated by race and or ethnicity. Muslims almost never fit the mold, feeling like an outcast. When we see a new Muslim or even someone we are not familiar with at the masjid, we should go up to them and welcome them. The problem lies in the fact that Muslims believe many of their cultural traditions are part of Islam when they are not. This is very dangerous. Okay, for today, one point that related to any Muslim that help him or her learn to criticize without hurting. What's that? That was among the things any Muslim can personally do to help foster Islamic unity. Again, I repeat, learn to criticize without hurting. The way some Muslims criticize each other, you think they were talking to an Islam basher instead of a fellow brother or sister. This type of ignorant behavior is a sure way to create anger, hurt, and dissension. It is no route towards unity. We must learn the etiquette of criticism, whether it is towards individual Muslims or our leaders. Knowing and implementing this will not only help solve problems in a particular manner, but it will also lead to a greater sense of brother and sisterhood in the community. If you feel that your criticism of someone in the past was rude or hurtful, please go back and apologize to them. Before you do that, pray for that brother or sister, since the Prophet has said that dua increases love between people.
Heartfelt congratulations for the birth anniversary of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and for the week of unity. Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam was very, very committed to unity, and this is not surprising because whoever is dedicated to Islam, dedicated to faith, dedicated to will of God, for sure he would be dedicated to unity. Those who divide people, you should doubt their genuine faith. Either they are ignorant or they are not sincere. It's very rare that an educated, enlightened, faithful, sincere believer would take unity as something which is not important, something which is not necessary. It's very rare. Maybe you can say it's impossible. Unless someone has, you know, big misunderstandings. Any Muslim who is enlightened and is sincere, his love for Islam, his love for faith, his love for the values that we share, and indeed we share with other believers in God, would make him committed to unity. Now look at this beautiful saying of Amirul Mu'minin al-Salam in Nahjul Balagha, Sermon 192. He says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَ قَدْ امْتَنَّ عَلَى جَمَاعَةِ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ فِي مَا عَقَدَ بَيْنَهُمْ مِنْ حَبْلِ هَذِهِ الْأُلْفَةِ, referring to the verse from Surah Al Imran, وَعَتَصِبُوا وَحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ, as we just explained. He says, Allah has truly obliged, امْتَنَّ, has had great favor upon this ummah by uniting them and bringing this bond among them, the rope of ulfa, friendship, affectionate love. الَّتِي يَنْتَقِلُونَ فِي ظِلِّهَا وَيَأْوُونَ إِلَىٰ كَنَفِهَا بِنِعْمَةٍ لَا يَعْرِفُ أَحَدٌ مِنَ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ لَهَا قِيمَةٍ. He says, this is a blessing that they leave. They move around, they take refuge from this blessing. And no creature knows the value of this gift, of this ni'mah. لِأَنَّهَا أَرْجَحُ مِنْ كُلِّ ثَمَنْ وَأَجَلُّ مِنْ كُلِّ خَبَرْ. This is better than any cost, any price, and it's greater than any value.
That was all for today's episode of today's special about unity. Inshallah, we follow this interesting topic. So, till then, till another time we meet each other, we leave you in Allah's protection and fi amanillah.
Mustafa, anta al-nabiyul amin wa sayyidul mursaleen. رحمة للعالمين جئت بالحق اليقين أنت النبي الأمين وسيد المرسلين رحمة للعالمين جئت بالحق اليقين.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.